those of us who have been around for the past few weeks, we have been looking at the importance of maintaining and, keeping the channel that we have, that dedicated channel that we have with God, that personal connection that we have with God, keeping it maintained, serviced, and operational. And last week, I started by asking how many of us truly believe that God speaks to us? And we saw that Jesus says, my sheep, Jesus says, hear my voice, and they follow me. And it is God's plan and objective that we, each one of us, hear his voice and live our lives under his guidance and direction. That's what he meant when he says, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me, is what Jesus said. And I also shared with you that this statement that Jesus made is for his sheep, not for his shepherds, not for the pastors, not for the teachers. They will need to hear the voice for themselves, but every single sheep that Jesus has in his fold, Jesus expects you and me, each one of us, to hear his voice. It's so important to hear his voice. And the place where we grow and build our capacity to hear his voice is that personal connection, that personal devotion that's maintained, that's kind of serviced by us daily. That's where we build our capacity to hear God's voice. God's voice does not come from outside somewhere. The Bible says that those who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. It's the children's birthright to be led by the Spirit of God. It's not the shepherd's, it's not the pastor's birthright. It's every child's birthright. So if you are a child of God, if you have made a decision for Christ, if you are following Jesus, it's your right, it's your prerogative to hear God for yourself. That's what Jesus is saying. And the place where we build that capacity to hear God's voice, and we need to build that capacity. It's not going to come, just like that. We need to build that capacity to hear God's voice is in our prayer place, is in our closets, is in those places where me and God, you and God, each of us individually, that's where we develop and build that capacity. If you don't take time to sit with God, if you don't take time to personally connect with God, you're not building that capacity. You're leaving it to chance. So your ability to hear God is hit and miss. But God doesn't want that. He has never wanted that for any of his children. God wants us to hear his voice clearly. And that's why Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. And that's what the Bible says in Romans chapter 8, verse 14. It says, all those who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. We are to be led by God's Spirit, but we need to build capacity, guys. We need to build capacity. And that's what I'm going to talk on this afternoon for about 20 minutes. How do you build that capacity? And over the last few, probably 1 week only, we've been talking about maintaining and servicing our personal connection, that dedicated channel that God has made possible through the sacrifice of his son. Through the sacrifice of his son. God paid and paid, through with his own life so that me and you can have that channel. That channel of communion, of communication with him. It cost him everything that he has and he was and he is. So that me and you can commune with him, can fellowship with him, can have a one-to-one relationship with him. Not a relationship through the pastor or through the leader of a particular group. But you yourself are to have a one-to-one relationship and personal walk with God. But you need to maintain that channel. You need to service it. You need to build your capacity to hear his voice. And it is not difficult to hear God's voice. There is a learning curve, of course, like there is for anything in life. But God's voice is out there to be heard by you and by me clearly. And we have been talking about how important it is to build capacity to hear God's voice through our personal time of devotion. Personal time of devotion. And I'm going to share with you how Jesus did it and why he did it in the next 20 minutes so that you can learn from him. If Jesus needed it, and if Jesus did it, guys, we need it even much, much more than he did. Let's pray before I start by reading a portion of scripture. Heavenly Father, we are so grateful to you because you're a God who is near. You are a God who is not far, but just near. Lord, we thank you for this moment and for this great privilege to come to you, to come to your word. Lord, to hear your voice for ourselves. Father, in Jesus' name, may each one of us, as we look to Jesus, your Son, who is our supreme example, the author and finisher of our faith, may each of us be inspired, Lord, and initiated into action by your word and by your spirit. Lord, this we ask you in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Turn with me to Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1 is what I'm going to read from this afternoon. And in Mark chapter 1, we see, I read this last week, but I'm going to read it again because I want to expand on it a little bit further. Chapter 1 and verse 35, this is what it says. Now, all of you will have different translations, but I'm going to read from the one particular translation just because it kind of fits in with what I would like to share with you. And it says, verse 35, talking about Jesus, "And rising very early in the morning, while it was still dark, he departed and went to a desolate place, and there he prayed." Okay? It says, "And rising very early in the morning, while it was dark, while it was still dark, he departed and went out to a desolate place." Now, this is talking about what Jesus did. And before any of you say to me, "He just did it once," I just want to quickly erase that from your mind by going to Luke chapter 4, which I will just read for you. But you can, believe me, it's written there. Chapter 4, verse 42. This is what it says in Luke. It says, "When it was day, he went out and made his way to a deserted place." Okay? He went out and made his way to a deserted place. And then in chapter 5, verse 16, this is what it says. Chapter 5, verse 16 says, "Yet he often withdrew to deserted places and prayed." So this was not a one-off event that I'm talking about. This was a practice that Jesus engaged in. The Bible says in Luke chapter 5, verse 16, he often withdrew to deserted places and prayed. So let's come back to Mark chapter 1, where it says, "And rising very early in the morning, while it was still dark, he departed and went to a desolate place, and there he prayed." So in my version, in the version that I read, which is the English Standard Version, I've picked three words in this one verse, all start with the letter D. Okay, can you find them for me? "And rising very early in the morning, while it was still dark, he departed and went out to a desolate place, and there he prayed." So the three D's that I want to share you on are three D's are, first, it was still dark. Okay? Second, it says he departed. And third, he says desolate place. Now, Jesus did not do this randomly. He did not do this without intention. And as we saw in Luke chapter 5, verse 16, he often did that. And I want to just share with you the reasons why he did that. The first thing it says that he departed. Okay, that's the first D that I want to look at. Jesus departed from where the commotion was, where the activity was. He had to depart from where everything was taking place, from the action there, from the commotion, from the people, from the crowd, for a purpose. And Jesus made sure that he departed from that, which was very, very important that we also do that. Because without departing, without moving away from where the action is, it's very difficult to be alone with God. It's not possible to be alone with God. Without departing from where the action is in your situation is, this is where the action is. Wait for this. Instagram, Snapchat, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube. That's where all the action is. That's where it's all happening. That's all the excitement is. But Jesus departed. He made a departure. Okay? He made a point of departing from where everything was happening in order to be with his Father. And I tell you that one of the greatest obstacles that young people and possibly all people nowadays may have is that this is where it's all happening. The WhatsApp, the Twitter, the YouTube, the Snapchat, the social media. That's where everything is happening. But you need to depart from there. If you want to meet with God, if you want a one-on-one with God, it's not going to happen sitting in the chat room. No, it isn't. And this is the only thing that is holding most of us back from actually developing a relationship with God and building our capacity to hear him for ourselves. It's because we don't want to depart. We want to stay where we are. And sometimes even in churches and in meetings, we're still on the social media. Yeah, we're still on the social media. We're looking at our phones and we're not departing. So there's no way God can meet with us. There's no way we can have a one-on-one with God. And Jesus chose to do that because he knew that he needed and he valued that relationship with God. It was worth departing from where all was happening, where all the commotion, all the activity was going on, where all the excitement was. And we know from this passage that, you know, the excitement was just building up. And then, you know, Peter and the disciples had to go and get him. They're saying, hey, things are happening here. What are you doing in this desolate place? Jesus knew what he was doing. He purposefully departed from where all the activity and all the action and all the excitement was. And unless we do that, unless we have that decisive, intentional, deliberate, and proactive approach, guys, you will always be infants in your relationship with God. You'll never grow the capacity to hear him for yourself. You always depend on others and always be looking to others and always envying others who hear God when God never intended you to be in that position. He wants you to build that capacity to hear him for yourself. And I love it because God does not hide himself. He's not a God who hides himself. Recently, this week, we went somewhere. A few friends of mine and myself, we went to see an old friend of ours, and we want to encourage him in the Lord and he's not a believer as yet, but he has been on several occasions. We have tried to, we've gone through the scriptures, the questions that he had, and he's still searching. He's still searching. And then he said to us, as we were sitting down chatting in his home, he said to us, why doesn't God reveal himself? You know, why is he so difficult to find? And we had to share with him John chapter 1, where it says, in verse 18, it says, no one has ever seen God, it says. The one and only Son, the one who is at the Father's side, he has revealed him. You want to find a revelation of God? Jesus Christ is the revelation of God. There is no more revelation that is going to come. Because the Bible says that no one has ever seen God accepted. The one and only Son, the one who is at the Father's side, He has revealed Him. Christ has revealed God. He has laid Him open and bare for each one of us to see. There is no more revelation that we were to expect. No. But we need to actually get in there, guys. We need to depart. Say with me, all of you, this afternoon, loudly, say with me, depart. Depart. Oh, no, no, no. Okay. Girls only this time. One, two, three. Depart. Everybody. Depart. We need to depart. You need to make a move for yourself. You know, you have to plan your departure. And that's the first thing that Jesus did. The first D that Jesus did was depart. He departed from where all the action was taking place. And I told you, the action takes place in your situation on social media. The second thing that Jesus did was He made sure He departed while it was still dark. Dark. And while it was still dark basically means He made sure He departed while those who may or who have the capacity or the ability to actually engage in distracting Him were still disabled. They were still disabled. They were still asleep. So Jesus made sure that this was His second layer of protection, so to speak, to make sure, to ensure that His time with His Father is protected. He did not leave it to chance. And that's what we do most of the time. We leave it to chance. We leave it to circumstances. We leave it to other things. We leave it to our academic timetable to run our lives. And it's true. Academic timetables are necessary. That's how we live. But we need to develop and build that capacity to hear God for ourselves. And God, as I said, is not a distant God. And Jesus took a very, very proactive and determined stand when it came to His relationship with God, because He valued that relationship. It meant a lot to Him to fellowship with God. And the quality and quantity of time that we set aside to fellowship with God ourselves demonstrates or reflects how much we value, how highly we rate our relationship with God. And God is about relationships, end of the day, guys. God is about relationships. First and foremost, it's about relationships. And I sometimes think that when at the end of my life, I think to myself, you know, at the end of my life, I will not be looking back and thinking, how much have I accomplished in terms of accomplishments? But what I'm going to ask myself, I think, is how well did I hold relationships, is what I'm going to ask myself. How well did I actually relate with God? How well did I actually relate with my wife, with my brothers, with my sisters? God, when it comes to the bottom line, is about relationships. And that's what He's looking for in you and with you. It's to relate with you. To be your friend, your father. To be your comforter, to be your strength. And the whole reason why God created Adam and Eve and humanity was basically this: to relate with them. That's what God created humans to relate with. The last D, time is coming up, the last D that we have is desolate. Says that rising very early in the morning while it was still dark, He departed. Okay? Take a departure from where the action is, guys. The action is very attractive. The action is very addictive. Okay? It's addictive. But you need to take a stand. You need to be determined and depart from those platforms and places that are actually keeping you away from communing with God and from building your capacity to hear His voice for yourself. The second is, He did it while it was still dark, while those who could remote possibility, even a remote possibility of actually causing distraction and disturbance and disruption to his quiet time with God, he made sure that they were disabled or mute before he departed. The third and final part is that he went to a desolate place where no one else that could distract him from his quiet time with God was present. He went to a place where he knew that there would be nobody else there but he and God. Because he, as I said, rated his relationship with God very, very highly. Over and above the excitement and the fame that Peter and the rest of the disciples were actually taken up by. So the first reason, as I said, that Jesus did, he made this departure dark and to a desolate place was basically because he valued his relationship with God. How much do you value your relationship with God, your friendship with God, your walk with God, your personal one-on-one with God? How much do you value it? How much do you put on that? Or it's not, you don't rate much, you don't rate it much. The quality and quantity of time we set aside to spend with God on our own will demonstrate and express how much we rate our personal relationship with God. The second reason why Jesus ran to his Father every day, and I'm thinking possibly more than once a day, is because he knew, because he had one agenda in life. It was to please his Father. It was to please God. And one of the things that he repeatedly says in his ministry is that my food, he said, for instance, is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. Jesus had an agenda of pleasing God, not men. And very often what traps us and keeps us from actually moving forward in God's purposes and calling in our lives, in the things that God has destined for us, is we have a kind of a fear of people or a desire to please people. Jesus did not have that agenda. And very often it caused him to clash with people. And very often, even his close friends did not understand him. And in this, in Mark chapter 1, we saw last week when Jesus departed to the desolate place to pray, Peter and the others came after him. They woke up. By the time they woke up and got to him, he had finished. But they came after him and said, look, you know, the excitement, the action is taking place here. Come on. And Jesus said, no. I have a mission to accomplish. And that's what God wants us to do, is that to get into the habit and into the kind of walk of determined to please him in our lives. Jesus was determined. Jesus had an agenda to please his Father. So, and because he had that agenda, this is what he needed to do. He needed to find out what pleased God. He needed to hear his Father. He needed directions and instructions from God. Imagine if Jesus, the Son of God, wanted and did and needed that, how much more me and you need that in our lives? This is what Jesus said. In John chapter 5, verse 30, he said, by myself, he said, I can do nothing. I mean, he had settled that. He had settled that once and for all. And the sooner we settle that with us as well, it's really, really good that we are incapable of fulfilling our purpose and our call without God. He says, by myself I can do nothing. I judge only as I hear, and my judgment is just, for I seek not to please myself, but him who sent me, is what Jesus says. So Jesus needed to hear from the Father. Jesus needed to hear from him, but not only here, but Jesus needed in that fellowship and in that time of communion, he needed the power to execute God's instruction and God's direction in her life, in his life. So the basic two reasons are, one, he valued that relationship with his father. Number two, he knew that he can do nothing by himself, and he ran to God repeatedly. He ran and ran and ran until he got all the instructions that he needed, and until he was empowered by that fellowship and communion to boldly and without fear execute those instructions that he received from God. If Jesus needed that, friends, how much more do we? How much more do we need to grow and build that capacity to hear God for ourselves? And in all this, what I want to do is not, you know, come down on you like a ton of bricks. I want to show you and initiate you and encourage you to build that capacity for yourself. God is out there to be heard, to be found. But we need to depart from what we're, from the place where it's all happening. From the place where the excitement and action is. We need to depart from that. We need to depart to a place that is desolate, where only you and God are face to face. You need to build your capacity to hear his voice for yourself, guys. Because you need that relationship. That relationship is what fulfills us. And I'm going to share with you this one little testimony before I finish in prayer. A few months ago, I was in Ethiopia, and I met up with an old friend of mine. We met up to talk about God. During the course of the conversation, he challenged me. And he said to me, he said, "Ephraim, find one thing," he said. Just one thing. Tell me one thing. One thing you say that this Christ has done for you. Just give me one. And he said, "I'm not asking for many, just give me one thing," he said. And of course, he put me on the spot. I wasn't expecting that. But the way that learned academics think is kind of, I think, the same. So I should have expected that. But then I kind of just... I honestly couldn't think of something at that moment. Of all the things that I know Christ has done for me through all the years that I've been walking with him, nothing could kind of popped up in my mind and said, "Here, give it that to him." But I went all the way back when I first met Christ. And I shared with him my state of depression and loss because I found no purpose and meaning in life while I was at university. And I shared with him how in that moment somebody told me about Christ, took me to a church, and in that church I heard about Christ and I came back to hear about him, and I came back and again I repeatedly came back to that church until I found fulfillment in that relationship and nothing else. I found my fulfillment. I found the meaning of life that I was looking for. I found the purpose of life that I was looking for, not in anything else, but in my relationship with Christ. And I told him this truth, and honest to God, he was touched by it. Because that is the truth. I did not find meaning and purpose in the things that I was doing. I couldn't. And that's why I was depressed. And that's why I was suicidal. But I found Christ, and in my relationship with him, I found a fulfillment that I could not find anywhere else. I stayed there today. To date, I stayed with him. And it's so important that we have that relationship and that walk with him, guys. It's so important that we find our fulfillment and ultimate contentment in our relationship with him. Build that capacity, guys. Service and maintain your connection and your communion with him every single day, one-on-one. Make sure you set aside a time. And I will be posting more stuff on the blog site for you guys to follow and to read and to also listen to. But you need to be building your capacity to hear God for yourselves, guys. You need to walk in that relationship. You need to make it work for you. You need to make it benefit you. Because now it is in your hands. You are the ones who can make it happen. You are the ones who ought to build that capacity to hear God, because Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice and they follow me." Let's pray.